Well, good morning, church. How are we today? This first service here, good to gather. If we haven't met yet, my name is Ben Hurd. I'm the senior pastor. I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 19. It is hard to believe that school is back in session. Where has the summer gone? This summer, we've been working our way through Proverbs, going through a series called Matters of the Heart. We have 2 weeks left of that, this week and next week. Next week, Aaron will be preaching through the power of words. God's word says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so certainly the words that we use are a matter of the heart. Today we're going to talk about a subject that many people do not like talking about, and that is money. We're going to be looking at several different verses in Proverbs. So what does money have to do with the heart? I believe there is a direct correlation between how we spend our money and our hearts. What do the things that you spend money on say about your heart? If I'm honest with you, one of the things I least like preaching about is money. You know, when it comes to money, one thing that, if we're not careful, money can be a real separator. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 4. It says this, "Wealth brings many new friends, but a poor man is deserted by his friends." What I've seen often, and even in the church, is that money can be a separator from people. I have seen in the church a lot of wealthy people who will separate themselves and kind of cling to one another, and it can be hard to break through those walls. And if you listen to the wisdom of the world says, hey, don't hang around broke people. Otherwise, that'll hurt your pursuit of money. Like, as believers, that should be appalling to us. Money is not everything. And as believers in Christ, that kind of attitude is unacceptable. Now, if you're wealthy, take heed lest you allow that to separate yourself from others. No one is special because they have a lot of money. But on the other side of the coin, I've seen those who are not wealthy make judgments of those who are simply because they have a lot of money. You know, there are so many different stereotypes in the world when it comes to finances that are just simply unfair. Just because a person is wealthy doesn't mean they are snobby. I've seen some of the wealthiest people I know to be some of the most generous, loving, non-separating people I've ever met, who don't see their wealth as anything special in and of themselves. Our value as Christians is not in what we have, but in who paid the ultimate price for us. Don't let money be a separator for you. We are united in Christ. Amen? How we approach money is important. The truth is, money matters to God. As you look through scriptures, did you know that Jesus did spend some time talking about money? Roughly, depending on, many of Jesus' parables, like a third or more of his parables, have to do with money. And so God wants us to be using our finances for his glory. We need to have the appropriate approach to it. Jesus said this, you can't serve God and money. And he also said this, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So today we're going to look through Proverbs to see what does it have to say about money. And so as we prepare to do that, let's go before the Lord once again. Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercies this morning that are new even today. Great is your faithfulness to us, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, we would rest in your promises. Lord, our confidence is not in us, but it's in your faithfulness towards us, Lord. And the problem of our sin was taken care of on the cross. It was finished on the cross. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for that. And Lord, as we head into a subject that can be challenging to talk about, Lord, I pray that you would turn our hearts to you, Lord, that we would have a biblical approach to money in a way that brings glory to your name. And so, Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we get too much further into this, there's something that we all need to agree on. Is money evil? No, it's not evil. Is it wrong to have a lot of money? No. Is it wrong to pursue after making a lot of money? Not necessarily. Money in and of itself is not the problem. It's our heart that can be attached to it that makes it a problem. Paul said the following in 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Isn't that true? Have you seen people get so caught up in money that it causes them to wander? This should be a warning to us. Money is not the problem. It's the love of it that is the root of all kinds of evil. After reading through Proverbs, there is a decent amount of verses that speak to it. So this morning, I want to share five principles that I've seen as I've read through Proverbs. Five principles when it comes to money. Now, this is not going to be extensive. There might be many things, or you might be like, what about this when it comes to money? Scripture has lots to say about money. We're specifically dealing with what do the Proverbs say? And I'm going to have some other scriptures that tie in with that, but primarily we are looking at Proverbs. We're going to be all over this book this morning. And so here's the first principle for us to see. It's this: trust in God, not money. Trust in God, not money. Get ready to turn a lot this morning. Turn to Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28. We trust in God. We don't trust in money. Here's what that verse says. "Whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like a green leaf." What is true about a green leaf? It's getting supply, right? It's getting feed supply from the trees in the fall. Love the fall. Love the changing of the colors. But what's happening to the leaves? They're dying. A green leaf is a picture of life in it. Turn towards the back of Proverbs in verse 20, chapter 28, verse 25. Chapter 28, verse 25. It says this: "A greedy man stirs up strife, but the one who trusts in the Lord will be enriched." Now, every single day of our lives, we are putting our trust into something. You've practiced trust already this morning. How many of you came when you sat on your seat? Did you check to make sure all four legs were there? I didn't see anybody wiggling the chair to make sure it could hold you. You just sat yourself on it thinking, this chair's going to hold me. You just had trust in it. Every person who has ever lived is looking for something to bring them hope. We are putting our hope into something. As professing believers in Christ, we are called to trust in Christ alone. Now, here's the hard part when it comes to money. Do we or do we not need money in this world? I would argue you do. Like, you're probably not going to eat for very long if you don't have money. Now, perhaps you could go catch, I can go catch fish. Well, how are you going to catch fish? Well, I get a stick. Well, where are you going to get the string at? Well, see, you get to a point where it's like, we're in a place where you need money to survive. And so it makes it hard for us to understand, like, how do we approach money? You need money to eat. You need money to have a good roof over your head. If you want to get somewhere quickly, you need money for transportation. No matter how you slice it, there's a sense where we need money to survive and have any kind of decency in living. It's really hard to escape that. Perhaps there's that person who lives off the face of the earth, and there's perhaps we could come up with one or two people who do that. But there is a sense where we need money, but there's a danger in this. We don't need money like we need God. In fact, here's the temptation that can come. The more money we have, the greater temptation to depend on the security that we feel with wealth. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes having a lot of money can lead you to believe that you have no need for God because you have all that you physically need taken care of. But we need to remember what James 1:17 says. It says this, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Everything that you have is a gift from God. The job that you have that provides for you is a gift from God. The money that you received is a gift from God. And we need to learn not to trust in the gifts that we've been given, but we trust in the giver. For instance, just take, let's say a massive virus broke out worldwide. Remember all the fear early on in COVID, and there was just a lot of unknowns, and like you were led at sometimes to believe that you were going to die if you breathed around anybody else, you know? Like there's just this crazy fear that was going on. I remember early on, it was like, what is going on? Well, imagine if a lot of the things that they talked about actually happened, that far more people died than what actually took place. Like all of a sudden, would your wealth be that important to you? If some kind of post-apocalyptic world came into fruition, would the amount of money you have in the bank really make any difference in your life? No, it wouldn't. Or when sickness comes, terminal illness, what is money going to do for you? I certainly understand the temptation that comes with money. It's not just the wealthy who can be tempted not to trust in the Lord. When you're in a financial crisis, I don't know if you've ever found yourself at a place where you're wondering, where's your next meal going to come from? I wouldn't say I've been there. But we have been at a place where we're looking at rent that's coming due and looking at our bank account, and the bank account doesn't have enough to pay for rent. Like the trials of being in poverty are just a different kind of trial, a different kind of heaviness. And you can find yourself, if you're in that position, to wonder if God really cares. And unless we're quick to judge those who are poor, if you're born into it, there's this endless cycle of like, you don't know how to get into it. And then there's a certain place where like you're receiving help from the government, but if you make a certain amount, and all of a sudden the government help disappears, and you're making less, getting less than what you got when you were helped by the government. Like, it's just such a strange thing where poverty can be just... It can destroy you. It can consume you. You could be led to think that God doesn't really care, that he's not really there with you. And it's critical in those moments that we remember that money is not our hope. The Lord is an everlasting rock, God's word says. So because what we have is a gift from God, let's consider what Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Everything that we have is a gift from God. And the temptation is, well, I've earned this. This is my money. Well, no, Scripture's already been clear on that. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. You've been given what you've been given by God. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says this. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. We are called to honor because it's a gift from him that he's given us. We are called to then honor the Lord with how we spend our money. We give some of our first fruits back. It's an acknowledgement that what we have is a gift from God. So you're just giving back a portion that's already his. That's part of what the tithe is. It's the acknowledgement of God. This is a gift from you. So I'm giving my first portion. So when Nikki and I, we get our paychecks, the first 10%, we're putting towards the church. We're giving it back to God in the church. And it's an acknowledgement that, God, this is a gift from you. And ultimately, I'm not trusting in what you've given me here. My trust is in you. So when you consider how you spend your money, would you say it honors the Lord? Turn to Proverbs 30, verse 7 and 9. Proverbs 30. I love what the writer of Proverbs says here. This is not Solomon here. You look at chapter 30, the verse 1, the words of Agor, son of Jacob. And he says this in verses 7 and 9. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. And it comes back to we're not trusting in wealth, we're not trusting in money, we're trusting in the Lord. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. So what is the focus of the verses here saying? Just give me what I need. Lord, if I have too much, I'm going to be tempted to just depend on myself and depend on my bank account and what it says. And when we do that, when we're trusting in what we can provide, quote unquote, with our wealth, we're tempted then to what the scripture says, deny the Lord. But on the flip side, if we find ourselves in great need, we might be tempted to profane the name of God. Like, you don't care about me. Have you found it interesting? I don't know if you've encountered people like this. People who say, there is no God, and yet they're angry at God for the things that he's allowed into their life. Like, just kind of interesting how that happens. The writer here, he just wants to find contentment. Lord, just give me what I need. I don't want to deny you by trusting in my wealth, and I don't want to profane your name by not being cared for in what I need. So this week, I want you to strongly encourage you to evaluate your heart. What is it that you tend to put your security in? What are you putting your hope in? Does money make you anxious or fearful? Is your mood dependent on your retirement account? And how do all the ups and downs of the market affect your joy or your trust in the Lord? Do you remain calm, cool, and collective? Or does it make you anxious? Remember what Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Trust in God, not money. Here's the next principle. Integrity with money matters. Integrity with money matters. Turn to Proverbs chapter 19, verse 1. Proverbs 19, verse 1. It says this, better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than one who is crooked in speech and is a fool. You know, we live in a dog-eat-dog world. When it comes to making money, there are people who believe, do whatever it takes. A lot of different opinions on it. Do whatever it takes. Doesn't matter what you do to do it. Whatever it takes to gain money, do it. That's all that matters. But as believers in Christ, we need to remember that integrity matters. How we earn that money, it's important to God. And it reveals our hearts. Cheating someone out of money because we can doesn't make it right. Charging more than we should because it's legal and people will pay for it doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. There's a lot of morality questions that arise when it comes to money. Can I stay in a company that is ripping people off on purpose? Is it okay for me to stay with a company that cuts corners in order to increase profits? Like, what happens when those choices actually increase what I bring home? Are we tempted to just turn a blind eye to it? I might get in trouble for this one here. As a business owner, is it okay to make hundreds of thousands of dollars while paying your workers a minimum wage that they can't even live on? I struggle, if I'm honest, to believe that that is a thing that is okay for a professing believer. Just because you can make lots of money, does that mean you should keep it to yourself as a business owner? And not all these questions have easy answers. But remember, when we talked about it in our first principle, honor the Lord with your wealth. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2, it says this. Proverbs 10, verse 2. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. Listen, brothers and sisters, gaining money through wickedness must not be tolerated by God's people. This is tough. When you see how well your family is taken care of, it can be really tempting to just kind of look away from the bad practices of the company that you work for. But is that what God would want from you? How can you justify working for a company that lacks integrity? And perhaps a challenge for some of you this week is to go confront the people that you work for, the business, who are ripping people off. And listen, it may cost you your job, but in the long run, integrity matters more. And remember, you can trust God, right? In the first principle, trust the Lord, not money. I have a friend who was a pastor within the surrounding hour of here, who listened to a sermon of his pastor. He was an associate pastor, and the senior pastor was preaching a message. He's like, that sounds a lot, that doesn't sound like him. Like, doesn't sound like something that he would say. And so his conscience was just like eating him alive. And so he went home and did some research and found out that he was actually copying a well-known pastor's sermon and just using his own illustrations. But everything else, he did no work to do. And so he got nervous and started looking up other sermons in the archive and come to find out that sermon after sermon after sermon he was ripping off from other pastors, other popular pastors, and then claiming them to be his own. So in light of that, he didn't feel good about it. Like it's important for a pastor to be in the Word. The Word needs to affect the preacher before he can bring it and deliver it to the people. And so he confronts the pastor and the elders are just wanting to kind of blow it off. Like, the church is growing, the people are happy, they don't want to mess anything up. The elders ended up completely removing all of the archive messages, did nothing about it, didn't think it was like a big deal, and eventually, really, it ended up costing my friend his job. It was a costly thing that my friend did, but he couldn't be at a place that wasn't living in integrity. And so he called it out, and he paid the price, but he displayed integrity. And I believe God was pleased and glorified with his actions. Here's another verse to consider. Proverbs 13, verse 11 says this, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase it." Now, we live in a fast culture, don't we? We want it, and we want it now. Fast food. We want to lose weight quickly, pill that we can just take and lose weight like that. We want to get rich quick, right? If you look up Google, how do I get rich? 10 ways to get rich quick, and you'll find a million different ways that you can get rich quick, all of which are scheme. They're false advertisement. We want this desire, and this is why the lottery exists. And lottery really is a tax on the poor. People who want to get rich quick. You don't see like wealthy, well-dressed people walking in and getting lottery tickets. It's those who are desperate to get rich quick, thinking that's the way that they're going to get wealthy. Or casinos. Have you ever watched a casino commercial and the people are well taken care of? Well-dressed, like looking like they're having the grandest old time. I don't know if you've ever been to a casino, but I used to work for a cleaning company, And we would go in every year, and we'd work like 12 o'clock midnight through the morning cleaning carpets. And the people that walked in there were not the people that are on the advertisements. Not to make judgments, but you're looking at them and you're thinking, that person's desperate. It's amazing how many elderly are in there as well, just desperate to get rich quick. Listen, what does Proverbs 13:11 say? Wealth gained hastily will dwindle. Do you know 70% of people who win a big lottery are bankrupt within 3 years? Isn't that mind-boggling? Can you imagine winning $1 million and it's gone in 3 years? Listen, if that's your philosophy to get rich quick, you're looking to spend it quickly. It's a crazy reality. When it comes to casinos and the lottery, I don't believe these are avenues of integrity. And I suggest that if that's something that you enjoy, that you pursue God's wisdom on this. Seek his face. Lord, is this something that honors you in my participation of it? Wealth gained hastily will dwindle. I'm going to read a couple more. You can write them down. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time for you to turn to them, but Proverbs 15:27 says this. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. Proverbs 16:8, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with injustice. So, in conclusion, do you handle money with integrity? Do you run your business with high morality? Do you work for a company that does business in a way that is good and honest? Integrity with money matters. Here's the next principle. Diligence leads to blessing. Diligence leads to blessing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. The way we carry ourselves with our jobs, with work, we're called to be diligent. We're called to be hard workers. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11, you'll see sprinkled in Proverbs these comparisons to animals, and here's a comparison to an insect. Verse 6, go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Now, there are definitely people who want money, but don't want to work for it. You ever met an entitled person? They're not very pleasant to deal with. But did you know that we were created to work? Despite what some of you may think, work is not a result of the fall. We might think that. Now, certainly, the hardness of work has been messed up because of the fall. But work in and of itself is not a result of the fall. When God created Adam and Eve and they put them in the garden, what did he tell them to do? Take care of it. Work the land. It is good to work. It is a gift from God. And as disciples of Christ, we should be diligent in our efforts. What you see all throughout Proverbs is that with diligence comes blessing. Have you ever watched like a group of ants? Have you ever, like there's been times, especially when I was younger, where I'd just be fascinated watching the diligence of ants just going back and forth. And did you know there are some ants who can carry up to 50 times their size? I remember seeing ants who are carrying wasps. And you look at the size and you're thinking, how is that little thing carrying this wasp? What a great illustration here that where Solomon is saying, hey, son, I think especially kids were fascinated with ants. Like, look at this. Look at how the ants work. Look at how much they carry. They're diligent in their work. And diligence will follow with blessing. Turn to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2 through 6. Proverbs 10, 2 through 6. says this, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Now, I know we have to be careful here, because when you read things like diligence leads to blessing, I'm not preaching some kind of prosperity gospel that if you just do the right things, that God's going to fill your bank account with lots of money. But what you see throughout Proverbs, there are blessings in one form or another. When we are diligent, when we work hard, there's a lot of truth that if you are a hard worker, blessings will follow. You know, I can think of, in just about every job that I've worked, minus a few, I have advanced. It wasn't because I was the smartest. I can promise you, guarantee you that. I am not the smartest tool, you know, the sharpest tool in the shed. See, I can't even get the illustration right. I'm not the smartest person. My wife is way smarter than I am. I'm probably the least intelligent person on staff. But one thing that I committed to is that I worked hard and I showed up every day. And the majority of businesses, that's what they're working for. They're looking for. They're looking for somebody. Do they show up on time? Do they show up every day? And do they do their job? Are they humble? Like, you know, are they somebody who complains a lot, or do they just put their head down and do the work? That's typically what companies are looking for. Before I joined the staff at Gospel City, our sending church, I worked for a restoration company, and when I told them that I was taking the job at Gospel City as a pastor, they said that they were just getting ready to promote me to be the lead water tech. Now, it would have included they're telling me some of the stuff afterwards. It included a company vehicle. I'm like, oh, gas is expensive. It would have included a nice pay raise. And when I was talking to him, he's like, well, do you want to know what we were going to offer you? And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't want to know. The point is, be diligent. Work as for the Lord. Don't try to have this get-rich-quick scheme. Put your hands to work. Put your mind to work. Look at Proverbs 12:11. Proverbs 12:11 says this, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense. There are times in my life where I had to work multiple jobs. When Nikki and I first got married, she had a full-time job at the library and a part-time job at a store. I worked full-time at a factory and part-time at JCPenney, which is awesome because you get tons of sales there. But I worked diligently. There's times where, I think I've shared this before, where I went to work at UPS at 3 in the morning, and then right after I got off that, I went to the full-time job of water restoration. I did what needed to be done, and God provided. Diligence leads to blessing. And listen, isn't there a lot of peace when you lay your head down at night knowing that you gave your best effort? That's a blessing that comes with being diligent. Here's the next thing. Generosity to the poor is expected and comes with blessing. Generosity to the poor is expected and comes with blessing. I'm going to jump through some of these scriptures, so write them down if you can't keep up. But Proverbs 19, verse 17 says this, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. Proverbs 22, verse 9 says this, whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed. Bountiful eye, what it means is like whoever is generous, the person who is generous will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor. Proverbs 28, verse 27 says this, whoever gives to the poor will not want, but he who hides his eyes will get many a curse. As you read through Proverbs, it is very clear that we should be looking to take care of the poor. Now, I think this probably leaves many of us feeling a little uncomfortable. How many times, and I haven't seen it a lot. I don't know if it's a lot in Elkhart County or not. I know it's like in South Bend and in Granger you see a lot, but how many times have you driven up to a stoplight and there's somebody holding a sign in a wheelchair, need help, and you just kind of trying not to make eye contact, and then your conscience is working on you. You're like, should I do something? And then you're wondering, do I have any cash in the car that I could give to them? And so you're scrounging around in your wherever you keep coins, and you're trying not to let him think that you are trying to look for money, and you're looking over and you see him walking towards you like, oh no, let's just look the other way. Like, come on, light turn green. And then you drive away, didn't do anything, and then like your conscience hits you like, oh, did I do something wrong there? Should I go to the ATM and come back and give him money? Certainly there are. These are the things that run through my mind. And after reading through Proverbs, I find myself asking, what am I to do in circumstances like that? Now, I'm not here to say that every person that you see who's begging for money, that you should give it to them. But here is the principle that I think is worthy for us all to have. Are your hands open to what God would have you do? Is your first thought when you see somebody begging for money thinking, why don't they just go get a job themselves? They're wasting time out here. Why don't they just get a job? Or is your first response, God, would you have me help this person out in any way that I could? And here's probably what runs through your mind too. It's like, well, if I just give them money, they're probably just going to go buy drugs or alcohol because that's what they do. The point is, it's unclear to know what to do in every circumstance like that. But do you have a willingness to help out if that's what God leads you to do? It's one reason why we support downtown ministries. They come alongside people. They help provide a place to stay, but not just that. They're also helping them to find a job, helping them to grow in the ability to give back to society and be able to get back on their feet. The point for us this morning in this, I think, is that we are called to be generous to the poor. And when we're generous, God brings blessings. It brings peace. It brings comfort. Sometimes God might even bless you. I've had times where I've given money away thinking this is really going to hurt, and then money shows up to me somehow. I get a gift in the mail. It's amazing. And God doesn't always work that way, but sometimes he does. And there's some warnings for us when it comes to not caring for the poor. We are called to do this. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25 says this: one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. If we're stingy with what we have, I think God sometimes has a way of getting our attention. Sometimes it's more painful than if we would just have that heart of being willing to give. Proverbs 21, verse 13 says this: whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. Proverbs 22, verse 16. I know I'm moving fast here. Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty. Verses 22 and 23 in chapter 22. Do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their cause and rob of life those who rob them. Listen, brothers and sisters, generosity towards the poor is expected as believers in him. And here's the reality. When it comes to our spiritual poorness, we were all spiritually poor. Nothing to offer the Lord, but in his mercy, he gave his son for us, that we might enjoy the riches of Christ. Generosity to the poor is expected and comes with a blessing. Here's the last thing. We're going to move through this quickly. Money isn't everything. This is hard as we live in America, one of the wealthiest nations in the world. Money isn't everything. Money can be a blessing, but make no mistake, there are there are things that are far more important than money. Proverbs 8, verses 10 and 11 says this. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you have, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. How many of us would say that we desire wisdom over wealth? In all of our pursuits of money, how much of our time do we spend pursuing growing in the knowledge of God? We just sang, I will rest in your promises. How many of us don't know God's promises because we're not really investing in God's word? But boy, do we have a big bank account. Proverbs 11, verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. You've probably heard, like you never see a hearse carrying a U-Haul trailer. You can't take with you to heaven what you gain here on earth. It's going to all rot. It's going to turn to rust. Listen, this may be a controversial statement. It's not about not making money. In fact, as the people of God who are generous, I want you to make as much money as you can. If it doesn't take away your heart, if it doesn't take away your availability to pour into your family, to invest in the church, if you are able to make a lot of money, make a lot of money, and then use it, realizing it's not yours, it's God's, and give generously. I mean, you think of the minimal amount of money, like the villages around the world who have no water. And just a little bit of money can provide water for the villages. Like, as your pastor, if you're able to make wealth, and I'm not asking, like, give it to the church. I'm saying find people in need. If you're able to do it easily and it doesn't affect you, it doesn't take your heart away, it doesn't take you away from your family, if you aren't exhausted in your work, if your wife or husband is supportive of your efforts and God is glorified in it, be generous people. But remember, money is not everything. Proverbs 15, 16 and 17 says this. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is that a fattened ox and hatred with it. So there is warning here. If money does have your heart and you struggle, then you need to step away in some way. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure. So don't hear me say, go get wealthy. But I'm saying, as you're able to be generous for the glory of God, do so. Proverbs 16, 16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. And then consider Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. If you look at the poverty of our nation, we're what, 37, we just passed $37 trillion in debt as a country. And not only that, the average American has over $6,000 of credit card debt. See, we're saying money isn't everything, and I think you would believe that, but do you have debt that says otherwise, that you've got to have this stuff? It's a worthy thing for us to ponder. Money isn't everything. Proverbs 18, 10, and 11 says this. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city and like a high wall in his imagination. What that's saying is the rich man can be tempted to think that his wealth protects him from anything that comes his way. It's not true. But for those who run to the strong tower of Christ will be safe. Let me give you some action steps that you can put into practice this week. I encourage you to memorize Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says this, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Listen, far too often, I think people are more satisfied in riches and don't trust the fact that God is enough. So I encourage you to hide that in your heart. A good book that's not very big, I encourage you to check out, is The Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. Just a very very well, healthy, a helpful book for you. If money in this whole conversation is sort of a struggle, it's a great little book to read. And then just a question, are you generous? Look, you may not have the finances. Look, I know some of you may not be able to just go give the money. Are you generous with your time? Can you go to the homeless shelter and feed a meal? Can you serve at downtown ministries? I know we have people in our church who are serving there. Do you have a generous heart? And then just remember that we trust in God, not money. So in light of that, let me pray for us this morning. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to discuss a hard topic, Lord. There's so many things here that so much controversy, even in the church and how we handle it. But Lord, what I know that you've told us to do is that we trust in you, not in money, Lord. Keep us from thinking that our bank account is what makes us secure. We need to be reminded of that. And Lord, remind us that integrity with money matters. If there's anybody here, Lord, who is part of a business, or maybe they run their own business, and there's a lack of morality in the way they handle things, and they're ripping people off, Lord, that you would convict them, that they would make a call to make a stand against this, and that they would handle money with integrity. Lord, I pray that we would be diligent people in our work, Lord, whether we're making a paycheck or not, Lord, for the stay-at-home moms, that they would work hard to care for their children, Lord, for those who are in the workforce, that we would set the example. God, that even if we don't like the company we work for, it shouldn't affect the way of how hard we work for your glory. And so, God, help us to be diligent. And I know that you'll bless us in one way or another, whether it be peace, whether it be financial, whether it be the joy of knowing that we're honoring you. God, remind us that generosity to the poor is expected and comes with blessing. God, that we would not turn away, but instead we would lean in and say, Lord, is there anything that I should do in this situation? And God, remind us that money isn't everything. Wisdom in you is far greater than wealth. And so, Lord, keep us from pursuing so hard after making money that we neglect to seek after what is far greater. God, I thank you for your grace and mercy to us. I thank you that you are a strong tower that we can run to. Keep us from the love of money. Give us contentment in what we have, Lord, because you have promised that you will never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to stick around for coffee and donuts. There's setting up out there, I believe. Might be outside. We'll see. But just want to remind you that, church, why do we exist? We exist to glorify God by making disciples who make disciples. You participate in the disciple-making process, not just being a disciple. So church, you are the light of the world, city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So let your light shine so others can see your good work, so you can give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Stick around, find somebody you don't know, get to know them. Other than that, have a great week.